On this episode, we answer questions in our fourth installment of a Main Street Magic Q&A. Today is November 5th, 2021, and this is episode 406 of the Main Street Magic Podcast.
Jeremy and Rhonda are more than a little fond of Disney World, so they made this podcast to share it all with you. Reports and resorts, top 10 lists of all sorts, Main Street Magic's bringing it home for you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Main Street Magic. I am your host, Jeremy Stein, and I am joined by my lovely wife, Rhonda.
Hey, guys.
Make sure you check us out on the web at mainstmagic.com, as well as follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at mainstmagic. If you've not done so already, head out to Facebook and search for the Main Street Magic community and ask to join. And then if you hit that subscribe button, you're going to get brand new episodes every Tuesday and Friday. But then if you want even more content, and we have a whole lot coming in November, including a trip back to Epcot to finish out Food and Wine Festival. I will be attending the IAAPA conference and trade show middle of the month here. Then we are tent camping at Fort Wilderness for Thanksgiving, which Rhonda is so excited about, as well as hitting up the House of Mouse Expo Thanksgiving weekend. So if you want to see all those live streams, plus you can get discounts on Main Street Magic merchandise and you get a whole lot more, visit wonderlandcrew.com and check out our Patreon group. If you head to msmfriends.com, you can check out all of our wonderful partners like Mouse Dining, Expedition Roasters, Blender's Eyewear, Magical Charcuterie, Kingdom Strollers, and more. But finally, if you're getting ready to plan your next Disney, Universal vacation, maybe you're looking to go on a cruise, or pretty much travel anywhere else in the world that will currently allow you to visit, go to msmears.com, learn more about our wonderful travel partner, Melissa Pilgrim, with Ears of Experience, and fill out a form for a free quote.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
House of Mouse Expo is the ultimate Disney fan event coming to Orlando, and it includes some of your favorite Disney stars. This includes Boo Boo Stewart from Descendants, a Hocus Pocus reunion featuring Doug Jones, Jason Marsden, Tobias Jelinek, and Larry Bagby. Pixar film star John Ratzenberger and Bill Farmer. This event also includes panels, photo ops, a costume contest, over 80 vendors, and much more. House of Mouse Expo will take place November 27th and 28th. Tickets now on sale at houseofmouseexpo.com.
I love these episodes, Rhonda. The Q&As, honestly, are some of my favorite. Anytime I think that we can get the listeners involved, and even though we're maybe not conversing with them directly, I'd love to answer their questions.
Yeah.
This is going to be from the last set of questions we got. There's going to be this episode and next episode because we got quite a few.
Okay.
So you get two back-to-back Q&As. We've done these several times in the past. If you just go to our feed and look for any of the Q&As, we've done some standard ones like this. We did a poolside Q&A. We did one once up in the mountains of North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
So it's always just fun to kind of interject these. So we're going to get right into them.
Okay.
And we've briefly glanced over these. So some of these might be a little bit of a surprise to us. But we're going to start with Chanel. And I think this is a really good question that we often get asked. Said, how do you get others who aren't Disney fanatics to become one, or at least see the same magic that you see? What do you think, Rhonda? Because I mean, I wouldn't say that you were a Disney fanatic, right?
Why?
I mean, you loved Disney. Well, I'm thinking park fanatic.
Okay.
You certainly were, like, I think, a Disney movie fanatic, and, you know, the cartoons, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, all of that when I met you and all. But going to the parks, and I loved Disney growing up, going to the parks and all, but I wasn't by any means a fanatic. I think I became one just from going there and enjoying it.
Yeah, well, I actually love the fact that it kind of goes back to being a Toys R Us kid. I don't want to grow up.
Yeah.
And I think it's really cool to go and, you know, literally just enjoy and not be an adult, I feel like, and kind of go back to your kid like roots and have fun. And I don't know, it's always so magical. It's always magical. You just gotta look at the good and everything, and it's so fun.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of times if you have people, and you certainly aren't going to probably maybe convert someone to a fanatic, but I think a lot of times the people that are hesitant about going to, you know, Disney, probably any of the parks really throughout the world, is they focus on how much it costs. They focus on the heat. You're right, especially here. They focus on that. They focus on, I got to be in a park walking all day. They focus on you know, these negatives that aren't the major part of the vacation, I think showing them that Disney is so much more than kid rides, which I think a lot of people think, you know, going and showing them that how incredible the dining is, you know, how incredible just walking and enjoying somewhere like World Showcase is, you know, actually staying, spending a day at a resort poolside and, you know, then maybe going to a park that night to see fireworks at Magic Kingdom. I think it's showing them the things that they don't know are there. You know,
okay, I agree.
Again, people who have never been might think, well, you know what? Well, I'm just going to go there and eat chicken fingers and hamburgers and walk around for 10 hours in the heat. And that's what I think a lot of times those people think. And those of us that are fanatics and go a lot, we know that that isn't truly what it's like if you don't make it that way. So I think showing them the other side of Disney, the food, the drink, the culture of something like, you know, Epcot and World Showcase or even Animal Kingdom, showing them that Animal Kingdom is not a zoo. You know, it's so much more. Showing them if they're a thrill ride seeker, you've got coasters, you've got things like Tower of Terror. Showing them things, you know, I've had so many people that are like, I don't care about Star Wars. But boy, I love Galaxy's Edge and I love Rise of the Resistance. So it's showing them that other side, I think, and focusing on the magic and not allowing them to buy a most expensive day ever t-shirt. I think that's step number one.
Good job, babe.
All right, we're going to move on to Sarah. She says, what is your first Disney memory? I know mine.
Okay, you're probably going to tell better. I'll say mine first. I just, I mean, I don't remember major detail. I'm not, but I do remember going with my parents and my brother and, you know, being young and enjoying Disney and Disney World and, you know, like Magic Kingdom. And I do remember, now this is not my first Disney memory, but I do remember going to Epcot and I was a little bit older. And I was like, it's so educational here.
I thought the same thing growing up. I hated World Showcase growing up. I was like, so, I'm out of school right now. Why are you putting me into school? And to be honest, I feel like we've lost a lot of that, that I bet you and I would appreciate so much now.
Oh, absolutely.
But I do remember, I do remember World Showcase feeling like a classroom in a sense. And I didn't care for that. But and again, I don't know that this is my actual memory or it's me looking back on photos, but I think it was 1986 when we went. And I know I've told the story, we went with our good family friends, the Smileys, and on that vacation. And I can remember putting on the 3D glasses, waiting for Captain EO, all standing against the wall while our parents took photos of us in these big goofy you know, bright yellow 3D glasses.
That's awesome.
It's really like the first memory I have of Disney. It's still, I think, for both of us, while we on Mickey Mouse first, I know we've told that so many times, but that certainly is one of my favorite Disney memories. And oddly enough, it's still, I don't remember much else from going until that moment. I mean, even you and I went a few times prior to having kids. I really don't remember those.
I remember
trips.
Going with your parents before kids.
Yeah.
And like I had a giant Mickey I was holding and your mom took a picture of me or somebody took a picture of me and or me and your mom.
She was like, we finally have a daughter.
But it was a lot. I remember that. I really specifically remember that trip because that was a lot of fun and it was just the four of us. So,
Those are and we used to. And now we'll probably go through it this weekend because my parents are actually coming to visit this weekend. We used to because we would go once or twice a year after we got back from every trip. And this is something I miss, but we can go back through our phone. It's just not the same. But every single time we got back from the trip, we would create a Shutterfly book. And we have probably a dozen of them from a dozen trips. And they're so fun to go back and look through because often those memories might not actually just stick in your brain on your own. But you see those pictures and you remember it like it was yesterday.
Absolutely.
So we need to look through those this weekend, I would say, for sure. All right, we are going to move on to our lovely good friend Rachel, who has several questions for us. Starting with, what are five restaurants you would like to try on some of your upcoming trips? Let's come up with five together.
Okay.
What do you think? I'm trying to think of, first for me, Steakhouse 71.
Yeah.
Which we are going to be doing for lunch. And if you get one in your brain, just pop it off. I would love to do the 50th celebration dinner at California Grill. I mean, I know we've been to California Grill a couple times, but that's definitely one for me. What are some? Are there just places
I'd really like
to
try in the Magic Kingdom? And I mean, I know like people say different things, but the Crystal Palace or, you know, oh my gosh.
I mean, we could the Plaza, Liberty Tree.
Liberty Tree. That's what I was trying to say.
I mean, Liberty Tree Tavern, especially with the holidays coming, maybe we can try that in December or something.
Yeah.
Trying to think of some others. You know, there's a lot at Epcot we still haven't done. Like I would like to do Coral Reef.
Yes, I would too.
Just pretty much anything in Epcot that sit down and we haven't done would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. I actually do want to go eat inside the creperie in the new
that'd be neat.
Expansion, you know, there near Ratatouille. I think that would be really good. Yeah.
I think we named five.
I think we're getting pretty close. I'm trying to think of places we haven't been. I'd really like to do Tiffin's again.
Yeah.
And maybe take like straight recommendations from the waiter or waitress on what to order. Because again, you know, if you go back to that review, we really enjoyed it, but it didn't blow us away because I just don't think we ordered the right stuff for being at Tiffin's.
I'd like to do more Disney Springs.
Yes.
Without, I mean, resort.
I want to sit down at Paddlefish.
Yes, food.
Yeah, actually just sit down inside at Paddlefish. Try that out. It's been a long time, even though it's one of our favorites to go since we've been to Morimoto.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little crepe place there at Disney Springs, actually, that I think would be good to try. There's that, was it Yasaki?
Sit down at Polite Pig.
Yes, sit down at Polite Pig again. We've actually never sat and ate there.
No.
Because we had the to-go. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll figure that out. Maybe we can do, we'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, that Polite Pig is a really, really good one. Rachel also asks, what's currently your favorite appetizer on property, your favorite entree, your favorite dessert, and your favorite snack? What is your favorite appetizer on property? I'm gonna take appetizer and entree both at Topolino's, and I'm gonna go with the ricotta for my appetizer.
Okay.
And I'm gonna go with the steak for my entree. So Topolino's gets two for me already.
Okay.
What do you got?
I mean, I'm thinking we're going back to Fort Wilderness soon, and I love the jalapeno poppers.
Yeah. So that's such an odd pick to me.
Why?
Because they're frozen. They're out of a freezer, and they pop them in a fryer. Yeah.
Okay.
Remember they changed them?
Oh.
They used to be more, they felt like house made, and now they switched a bunch of stuff that I think, this was even prior that we ate there to COVID and all, and they switched a bunch of stuff to straight up like fried. When we ordered all that stuff to go from P&J's takeout, and we sat outside with Matt and Nikki and them that time, it was like everything was just kind of pre-frozen and fried, but maybe they switched them back.
Yeah.
What's your favorite entree on property right now?
Oh, I'm going to take from Space 220 and do the baked macaroni.
Oh,
that was so good.
Oh, yes, it was. That's a wonderful, wonderful pick. I like that.
Thanks.
All right, let's move on to desserts. What is your favorite dessert on property currently?
Well, I always love their creme brulee, period.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna pick that. But honestly, really, like lately, they have been just doing right the cupcakes.
Yeah, they really have.
So I guess a cupcake, maybe?
I feel like something changed at some point in the cupcakes. Because remember they used
maybe
to be...
Maybe they listened to us.
Maybe. Well, I'm going back to... Geez, was that last December? We went with your parents and Rachel met up with us. And we got that Olaf cupcake at Hollywood Studios. And it was just, the cake was super dense, and the frosting was just, it was just over the top. And then we had that 50th cupcake from the Boardwalk Bakery with Kat.
That was amazing.
And everything was perfect.
Yep.
Nice, moist cupcake, great filling, like the icing was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one. I still love so much from Citricos that citrus flan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now for me, like, it's a dreary day here for Florida. It's 62 out. It's rainy. It's overcast. Like, I don't want that now, though. I want that, summer.
And I just started to say, that's a great, like, dessert for refreshing.
Yeah.
And sometimes I like a good chocolate, like a good sweet. Like, this wasn't that sweet, I don't feel like. This is a perfect dessert for you.
Yes. Yes, it is. And, well, like you said, it's a good dessert to finish a meal.
Yeah.
But if you were strictly like, hey, all you're getting is dessert, I don't think it's there. I don't think it's that one.
I agree.
I do agree the cupcakes have been really, really good lately. Of course, we have a lot of wonderful holiday treats coming out.
Yay. That, I'm excited about that.
I sent the photo to our little crew group text message. That what was it? The gingerbread cookie sandwich with the caramel frosting filling that Disney Food Blog posted that is over at Caramel Coochie.
Mm-hmm.
I want that.
We're going to be getting it.
I think that might be my new favorite dessert when we go, just from the look and the sound of it.
Okay.
I really want to do that. How about your favorite snack currently on property?
Well, if they bring it back, I think it's been gone for a while, and I guess because of COVID, I'm not sure.
Probably.
But over at Epcot, they had different popcorns, and they had three of them, I believe. They had the buffalo.
Yeah, it was a buffalo popcorn.
Popcorn, like a blue cheese.
You want to say chicken, but it's not popcorn.
I think it's buffalo blue cheese or something. Anyways, the main one, the one that I love, is the sour cream.
Yeah.
I think it's sour cream and onion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so
good. It's so good. It's so good. And you can get that filled in your bucket.
Yeah.
So if you have one, that's
Yeah.
I don't know if it's coming back, but
I
wish it would.
It has that wonderful sour cream and onion flavor that you get from like chips and all. But when you pair it with popcorn, I don't know how to say that. The popcorn is almost a little wet.
No, it's not.
Yes, it almost has. Like,
not
it's,
to
it's,
me.
I don't know how to explain it. It's good. It's a good thing. It's just so good because it almost literally melts in your mouth.
Okay.
The way that it's done. And I really enjoy it. I'm going to go super simple and say Mickey pretzel, plastic cheese, and I'm going to get that side of regular buttered popcorn. And when you're done with the pretzel, as I've said, you take as much popcorn as you can, make sure you got really clean hands, and you just scrape up all the extra plastic cheese you can on the popcorn.
Okay.
And it is delicious. And it's super simple, but I still think it's one of the best. It's a classic. I love those Mickey pretzels. They're again, I mean, it's literally like a super pretzel. I used to eat a super pretzel a night growing up.
Oh my goodness.
You buy them frozen, but I would microwave them, and I knew the exact like seconds you needed. Where, you know, like where the little connections make, like the little nubs, they almost got a little crispy, but then the rest of the pretzel was super soft.
Mm.
And then my dad used to always make his own cheese dip. It was just like milk and some shredded cheddar cheese, and he'd microwave it and stir it together, and then we would dip the super pretzel in the cheese dip.
Wow.
That was good.
You're
funny. All right, we covered everything there. Rachel's next question. What ride would you bring back that is no longer around at Disney World, and why is it Primeval Whirl? That sucker is bulldozed to the ground. I kind of want a piece of it. Like, if they auctioned off pieces of Primeval Whirl,
why?
I would buy one. I just would. Because
you hated that ride.
Hated it more than anything, but it packs some of the best memories. Like, riding it with the girls.
Yeah.
And they would just laugh. They loved it.
Christina
and her entire family. Yep. That was one of my favorite photos. We're all waiting in line and did the big selfie of all of us. And there was like 8-9 of us or something.
Yep.
And we're all the adults are just like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And every time I would ride it with the girls, I'm over there just grunting and groaning, and they're just having an absolute blast. Like, it's one of those things that I'm so happy that it's gone, and I hope something great comes in its place. But I'm kind of sad that it's gone because it has so many memories.
Yeah.
Like, I would give anything for it to stick around long enough where Kaylin is my age and taking her child on it, and I can just laugh at her because she would hate it at that point as it breaks all her bones. Other than that, you know, so many things at Epcot that I know I experienced, but I don't remember because I was so young. Things like Horizons and Body Wars and, you know, some of those rides and attractions I think would be neat to bring back.
I really enjoyed Backlot Tour.
Oh, yeah. That's a great
one.
Or
the
stunt show.
Lights, motors, lights. Yep.
Oh, I
one
love
of those.
Those
were so good.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see that come back. I still think it would be such a cool thing if Disney was able to create some sort of virtual experience where you could re-ride old classic rides.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Mr. Toad's, like, I don't know that I ever did Mr. Toad's.
I know
possibly
I did,
but I don't remember it at all.
Tomorrowland Speedway. Oh wait,
that's still there. Speaking of, now that one,
they should take that.
But
away.
You know what? It's like Primeval to me. Even when you and I just wrote it on the 50th.
Oh my gosh, that was so...
It was hilarious. But... as much as we can say we hated that ride, we had a blast just laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
It's what Alien Swirling Saucers is to me now.
Yeah.
I can't ride that without laughing every time it comes around a corner and my butt just slides across the seat and squishes you.
Yeah.
And you just laugh the whole time. And and I think there's something to be said about those that people don't often realize. So Primeval, RIP, let's put something really, really good in its place. Rachel has a couple more questions, honestly. She has quite a few, so I'll just keep going through them. After Coronado, what is currently your favorite resort on property and why?
Wilderness Lodge.
Okay.
Because...
Are you going seasonal? Can we go seasonal? You're just going year-round Wilderness Lodge?
It would probably be my second year-round Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah.
But seasonal, absolutely. Like, I mean, if the tree's there right now, oh, God, just to sit in that lobby.
Oh, well, we'll be able to see it when we're at Fort Wilderness. It'll be up by Thanksgiving weekend, I'm sure, and we'll go over there and just sit in the lobby maybe
have
one morning.
Have coffee, just sit by the fireplace,
We could do that Thanksgiving morning. We could just head over there, have our coffee by the fire, looking at the tree, and then go back and do our Thanksgiving.
No, I want to stay there.
Yeah, I mean, Wilderness. Yeah, I'd say Wilderness Lodge for me. If it's summer, I got to go Yacht Club. I have fallen in love with Yacht Club.
Oh, wow.
Like, and it's not just Stormalong Bay.
Yeah.
It's just that whole complex of yacht and beach and the boardwalk area and all of that. But if it had to be year round, I would still go Wilderness Lodge because it puts you, like, you can go to Wilderness Lodge in July and be indoors, and you get that feeling that it is the holidays almost, and it's winter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You go to Yacht Club in January, I don't know that I get a summer. Like, I don't feel like it's summer. I just feel like
I do.
Do you?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. And then I'm like, oh, man, it's too cold.
Well, like, yeah. Yeah, because we're not going to Stormalong Bay in the summer, that's for sure. Rhonda, what is your favorite attraction song?
Oh, my goodness. I guess I'd have to say Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, Grim Grinning Ghost. I was going to say the same thing. I mean, we did that whole attraction song episode, and it was number one. It's so good from beginning to end. So I think, that's kind of an easy pick. What places would you guys like to visit outside of Disney properties? Huh, there's places outside of Disney properties? I would like to go to the Biltmore.
I want to go back there so bad.
Yeah. I'd like to do a cabin again.
Christmas is just stunning, which I've never been.
Hallmarky, would you say? It feels
probably,
like walking
absolutely.
Into a Hallmark movie. Yeah.
Probably. Okay. So you should take me.
Oh, I know. I will try sometime. Mm-hmm. I'd like to, I don't want to. I really would love to go overseas and go and do like Europe and all. I mean, again, we want to go see Gary and family in Scotland and we want to, check out Paris and stuff. I just can't get past the thought of plane rides.
Right.
It's something that was going to give me so much anxiety leading up to. I'll just have to try and find something to just, take a pill and go to sleep for however long that is. But Hawaii, even if it's not Alani. Which I would like for it to be, but if we can't do a Disney property, then I still really, really want to do Hawaii. I'd love to go back to the Keys. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy like Marathon Key as far as a family style atmosphere. I mean, there's nothing like looking out over that clear water.
Oh, yeah.
And especially when it's on both sides of you.
Yeah.
You know, and there's like 100 yards of land in between waters. It's just the coolest thing. Yeah. So somewhere I think I would be really cool is places like Australia, Japan, places like that. You're never probably getting me on a flight, though, to go there.
Yeah.
Unless you can literally, if they can get teleportation going, then I'm down. Please make it affordable, because I can't imagine it would be.
No.
Besides the podcast and stuff related to it, what other things do you work on, Jeremy? Oh, that's a great question.
Well, what do you do, Jeremy?
Rhonda doesn't even know. I mean, my main thing is I do the same type of stuff for my brother and who's a keynote speaker, professional speaker. I handle all his social media, audio, video production, anything basically kind of design related from some different clients, things like that. But there is a lot of focus and work on this podcast, probably almost equally to what I do in other areas.
You do it a lot.
So,
the
yeah, but no, I mean, I love it. And I've been working from home for like 6 years now. which it's, I know some people are really, really good at it. I'm still trying to get the hang of working from home. It's hard. Like when you just get up to go get like water in the middle of the day and you're like, oh, there's some dishes in the sink. Well, I should wash those. And then 30 minutes later, you're like sitting down, just going through your phone and you're like, oh, wait, what happened? Where is it? Like you just black out. So, yeah, it's still hard to get in like a routine and schedule.
Yeah.
But I'm so thankful. I've always told myself I was not going to work in a cubicle the rest of my life. And I'm not. So
good.
That's good. I enjoy that part of it.
Good.
And what made you become a hairdresser, Rhonda? Why did you get into that?
Well, my story, because I feel like my mom has a different story, but my story is I was raised in a church, First Baptist of Jacksonville, and I don't know, I just felt like we were always taught that, you know, we were the women that stayed at home and didn't work, and I was very independent, and I just... growing up in the age that I did, you started to see a lot more divorces, and you started to see, and even though I wanted to marry for life, I just also wanted to be very like,
I hope you did.
I hope so too. But I always wanted to be like, all right, I can take care of myself. I got this.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget. I did my hair for a banquet and somebody asked me where I got it done. And I said, I looked at him like they were crazy. And I was like, I did it. And she was like, have you ever thought of being a hairdresser? And I'm like, I don't know.
Hmm.
And then she told me that her her brother's mother-in-law is one, and how much like she does on her own and makes good money, and she owns her own salon, and she can work if she wants to, and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just started to look into it. And then my mommy was going to pay for it. And I was very nervous that I wouldn't like it. So they made a deal with us and said, you go for a month, you give us this much money. If you don't like it, that's all you lose. And I was like, all right, I can do that. And I fell in love with it. And honestly, I was never good in school. And it was meant to be, because these were the best grades I felt like I ever made.
How long was that whole like schooling to get your license?
So it's actually only hours. And because I was able to be full time and I didn't have to work or didn't have a child, it only took me 9 months.
Okay. So it's not, so you could put in as much as you can put in, and then that determines how long it actually takes you month wise, basically. Right.
So I think
if you did 8 hours a day, you knock it out a lot quicker than if you're doing it after a day job and going at night and doing 2 hours or something, obviously.
Yeah. Cause I want to say, like, well, I don't know why 2,300 hours pops in my head. Ooh. I don't know if that's the right one to say, but, and I could look it up. It's just been, like,
over 20 years.
20 years that I did this. But yeah, basically that's what it was. And
interesting.
Yeah.
I will thank you, Rachel. I've never heard that story or reason. I guess I never asked why you became a hairdresser. So now I know. But
really?
You've done it very successfully for over 20 years.
Yep.
Yeah, you've created an incredible business. You've pretty much always been your own boss, which is very cool. And
I was pushed into that at 20 years of age. I was going from just, you know, going to my normal job and I get a paycheck and I get everything, to now you have to do everything on your own.
Yep.
You have to pay rent. You have to pay your own taxes. You have to. And I was like, oh, what?
Yeah. But you also get all your own control. You set your own schedule. We can go to Disney and do this podcast all because of these flexible schedules we have. So that part, we've been very fortunate. What is your favorite type of cuisine?
I would probably say Italian.
Ooh, that'd probably be my second. Otherwise, I'd go with like Mexican. I mean, I can eat tacos.
I should say, I know Mexican.
Breakfast,
for you.
Lunch, dinner, I could eat tacos or burritos, anything on a tortilla. I do love some good Italian, though. Mm. We made some really good meatballs and some sauce and pasta the other night that was just outstanding.
Yes.
And it's like, now a day like today, again, it's kind of dreary. It's cool. Mm-hmm. This is like an Italian heavy comfort food kind of day.
Yep.
Whereas for me, tacos, like shrimp or fish tacos, sitting outside by the beach. So I'm very seasonal, I feel like.
Yeah, sounds
you know,
like
just
it.
The way things feel. Like today, feels like we're insane people. So, you know, all of our Christmas stuff is up already. That's what we do. As soon as Halloween is over, we move into our Christmas stuff.
Yep.
But like today feels more that way. It feels like a day you sit inside and stare at a Christmas tree, you know, with our little LED fireplace, as opposed to the Tuesday when it was 80 outside. You know what
correct.
I mean?
But it is, the high is only like 65 today.
Yeah, I think 65. Okay, thank you, Rachel, for all your wonderful questions. We appreciate you.
Yes.
Megan asked, top three IPs that need an attraction or ride. Let's start there.
Tangled.
It's Tangled, 100%. I think number one.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
100%.
I would go... There,
people would kill me, but I'd say change... To, change over Small World into
Tangled. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, she's getting one, Princess and the Frog, Tiana, they are getting one.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Moana is getting that walkthrough feature. I know there was always rumors of Figment changing over to an Inside Out. I actually think Inside Out would be wonderful.
That would be cool.
And it doesn't have to take over Figment if they were able to just do an expansion or something. I think Inside Out would be a really good one. Trying to think of some other ones that have stuck out recently. I mean, I would take a, I don't know, God, Tangled just is number one.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be up there. She said also said, if you could add Marvel stuff, which of those would you add? I would add anything Marvel if available. I mean, I think getting...
At Disney World?
Yeah, Disney World, if it was available. If all of Marvel was available, I think an Avengers, like a full Avengers endgame.
Yeah.
Some sort of battle scenario. Maybe it's set in the ways of a Flight of Passage where you're like in the middle of the battle or something. Even if they wanted you to take on an Ant-Man or the Wasp or something type or a Wanda kind of persona.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I would take anything Marvel. I'm so excited for Cosmic Rewind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm excited to see what else they're going to be able to do, especially as a lot of the new movies come out.
Yes.
I don't know all the logistics of those characters. I'd probably have to go back and listen to my own episode that I did with Logan where we broke down the contract all the stuff that's coming. But I would literally take Marvel anything. I mean, even if we could just get walk around characters.
Yes.
To be able to see Iron Man or Cap or whatever would just be incredible, I think. Or Chris Hemsworth. not Thor, just Chris Hemsworth walk around. Meet and greet is all I need. Is that or Chris Evans? Any of the Chrises, honestly.
Could you imagine?
Give me the three Chrises.
Oh, I'd take Jeremy.
What?
Hawkeye?
Oh. I was like, we're talking Chrises. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right. We gotta figure that out because the two episodes. First two episodes of Hawkeye come out on the day we arrived to Fort Wilderness. So we may have
to
gather around the TV that night and watch those two. I loved WandaVision. I loved Loki. You know, like I loved Falcon and Winter Soldier. This Hawkeye series looks like it's going to blow everything else out of the water, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Hawkeye to me, it was the same thing with Black Widow, really came along in Endgame is when I fell in love with those characters.
Really?
Yeah. They were just secondary characters that were part of a bigger group and initiative.
Well, maybe
because
I love Jeremy. I was like,
I love you too, honey.
Hawkeye.
All right, Megan also asked, and this will be our final question for the day, and then we will move on to the next set of questions next episode.
Okay.
She says, would you rather visit only one of the four parks, but stay in a deluxe resort for 6 months? Or only stay off property for 6 months, but be able to visit all the parks. I'll take one of four parks.
I will too.
And stay in a deluxe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What
park would you pick though? You can only pick one. You can only visit that
Hollywood.
Park for 6 months. Hollywood, really?
Yeah. I think because of, I don't know. It'd be between Hollywood and Epcot.
I agree.
Because Hollywood, I think of like, the people like, well, Mike that we know there as a cast member. And then it is to me a done park.
Yeah.
So you have more options on rides. You have really good food there.
Yep.
We also know Julie from Tune-In Lounge.
Yep.
We could go see her.
Then you can't see Charlotte for 6 months.
I know. And I just heard to say Hollywood is a Skyliner ride away from Chris and Bar Riva.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody there. Marcy. So is Epcot. It's true, true.
That is a tough pick between the two.
But Epcot, I mean, there's not very many rides right now. And you would be just eating and drinking more.
Yeah.
I feel like.
I think I
As
only...
As opposed to Hollywood, you could ride the ride, you could go, and you could...
All right, you sold me. I'm picking Hollywood as well.
Oh.
Which is good, because now we can be together. Otherwise, it would just we would wake up in our deluxe room and be I'd be like, all right, I got to go to Epcot. You got to go to Hollywood.
See you later.
I'll see you later.
I don't know. Maybe that would be good because then you could get some caramel coochie for us.
Bring it back.
Bring
to
it
you.
Back.
Yeah.
And then Kaylin could go with you.
Yeah.
Lacey could go with me.
No, I do agree with you. I really have lately fallen in love all over again, I think, with Hollywood Studios. We've really been enjoying Epcot. You know, I still think overall Animal Kingdom might still be my favorite park. But I wouldn't single it out as the only one I could visit. I don't know how that works. It's just how it works. So accept it.
And then would we be allowed to stay over all the deluxe for 6 months or is it one?
Let's say you had to pick one.
If I had to pick one for 6 months, I would probably pick the boardwalk area. So
yeah, do something like yacht. If it's summertime for sure.
Yeah.
But if it's wintertime, then I might go ahead and lean towards Wilderness Lodge. I mean, imagine that being your morning coffee for 6 months straight. Are we there for 6 months or this is just over a 6 month period?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Either way, I don't know. It'd be tough to go against Wilderness.
Yeah.
That lobby is extraordinary. Oh, I can't wait to see it in a few weeks.
And I still love Polly.
You
know. I wouldn't pick Magic Kingdom just because I just wouldn't. I love it, though, but I just wouldn't pick it.
I mean, really, the funny thing is Magic Kingdom, from an attraction standpoint, makes obvious sense because it has the most to do. You know, like, do you think that, all right, let's just say you actually are there for 6 months or even if it's over a 6 month period and you go every month, are you going to lose luster at some of the rides at Hollywood? I mean, I guess we haven't. We still... love every time we can ride Rise or Mickey and Minnie's or Tower or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would still lean towards Hollywood, especially if we've just fallen in love with.
Well, and isn't Indiana back?
It's coming back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it kicks up here soon.
Yeah.
So there's I want to go back to Disney. We go next Saturday just for a quick night.
Yeah.
And then it's just going to be weird because when we're there for Thanksgiving, we're there with your whole family who do not have theme park access. So,
but they understand if we need to work and
yeah,
go,
and
we'll do some
yeah, we'll do some things. Like I know I snagged Epcot for Wednesday when we get in, and we've got Magic Kingdom on Thanksgiving.
I started to say
Day.
We need to probably pop into Magic Kingdom and
on Thanksgiving. That's gonna be so cool.
Well, we need.
I've
to
always
go
wanted to do that.
See if we need any 50th merch.
Yeah, that's true. We still got to figure out our turkey situation. This is a conundrum of getting a turkey. I contacted Polite Pig. They're not doing whole turkeys this year.
Okay. We do because
my original
my parents and everybody's doing sides.
Right. And we're taking care of turkey.
So, yeah.
Because originally I was going to bring the smoker.
We just need to bring the turkey and we need to bring the fryer.
We could fit that. That may be the way to go. We've got a little oilless infrared fryer because my original thing was I was going to strap the smoker, the little hitch thing we have for the back of the 4Runner. But now we're leaving that Saturday to go to the House of Mouse Expo, and I can't exactly park the 4Runner in the parking lot with a smoker strapped to the back. I'm not sure it would be there at the end of the day.
Yeah.
That would be actually kind of funny. Can you imagine just walking to a parking lot and you see a smoker, and you're like, you know what? That's my smoker now. Somebody would do that, though.
Yeah, possibly.
All right. I'm so looking forward to that trip. We got to get the tent out soon and make sure that everything's good with it. We got to check out our air mattresses. Oh, I wish you guys could see her face right now. I'm thrilled. I've wanted to do this for so long.
Yep.
And we were almost like thrust and forced into this situation where we will be tent camping.
Yep.
And I'm pumped. I think it's going to be the neatest experience. Mm. Are we bringing a little TV for inside the tent? Do we think? No.
Okay.
I got to figure out how much stuff we can fit. All right. Well, that is it for today's Q&A. Thank you guys for your wonderful questions. We will be coming back. Next episode, we'll be answering the rest of the questions. So if yours was not yet answered, don't worry. It is coming in part 5 of our Main Street Magic Q&A. If you have not done so already, we would really appreciate if you go ahead and subscribe. You get those brand new episodes every Tuesday and Friday. Plus, if you're out there subscribing, you might as well just leave us a rating and review.
Because it helps our show grow.
That's all we've got. We'll see you real soon.
Jeremy and Rhonda are more than a little fond of Disney World, so they made this podcast to share it all with you. Reports and resorts, top 10 lists of all sorts, Main Street Magic's bringing it home for you.